Hello again, this is a third episode of the Sordid, Seedy, Underground, Elitist, Mistakes of Youth podcast. I am Arion, Wildarms here on the site, but I figure I might as well use my real name since these two won't be calling me by anything else. And these two are David and the webmaster of avamonkey.com, Aaron Clark. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Alright, so in the first episode, we talked a bit about the new Evangelion film that Gainax announced, and David wanted to ask Aaron about it, given he's, I guess he's an Ava scholar or something ridiculous like that.
I know everything.
Alright, so David, go ahead.
Alright, I'll take it away. As a recap, the news was that Gainax announced four new Evangelion films, a prequel, and three stories, I believe. And that's about all we know. Is that correct, Aaron?
Something like that. There's kind of two contending reports of what it's supposed to be. One is that, you know, there's going to be like a prequel or recap, and then three recaps, and then a new ending. Or four completely unrelated films. It's kind of vague at this point.
Alright, well, let's jump right into it then. What should we expect to see in these new films? Should we see a retelling of the series? Will we see a new thing? A new entire film, which may not even be called Evangelion? And what do you think we'll see?
It's kind of hard to tell because we've already seen a number of different spinoffs being made by Gainax or in relation with Gainax. Girlfriend of Steel, Girlfriend of Steel 2, Shinji Ikari Raising Project. All of these have had sort of non-canonical spinoff type stories. And as far as canonical stuff has gone, that's pretty much been done with since the end of Evangelion. So it'll be kind of interesting to see whether they choose to extend, you know, the pre-existing story, you know, in terms of canonical animation, or do another spin-off or retelling.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there a new video game?
There's two new video games. There's, Great Detective Evangelion, which is... I can't even explain it. It just looks really weird. Like, every screenshot that's been released for it looks like it was, like, Photoshopped or something, you know, like Rei and Ami, like, fighting a human-sized Evangelion figure with, like, tentacles or something weird like that. And then there's another new Evangelion game, which I can't remember the name of right now, that basically is supposed to follow the story of some random, like, nerve intelligence guy through the storyline of Evangelion, and I'm calling it right now. The guy that's being, like, the main character of this game is the guy that killed Kaji. I'm calling it right now. That's who it is.
Well, Evangelion games coming out aren't really, like, a new thing, because, like, the Evangelion game comes out, like, every year, right?
Pretty much. It's that you know, money, you know,
yeah.
Spin.
Oh, as far as the new movie goes, I'd like to hope that they're, in a perfect world, that they're just, like, a really epic movie proportioned, like, retelling of the original series. And if they aren't, they're going to at least, since they are movies, I don't think they're going to be something, like, along the lines of Girlfriend of Steel or Ikari Raising Project. It'll at least be something, you know, kind of serious, I guess, if they're actually going to put a movie budget to it.
Without the Monster Week storyline.
Yeah, they're probably going to have to find a creative way to skip through that.
Well, there was one detail that I thought was interesting, that Anno, the director, basically said that the way they were going to do this was going to be free of a lot of the oversights and the double entendres that were so present in Evangelion to the point where it was impossible to understand or comprehend, you know, fully. What they want to do with this new production is make it, you know, still the same type of story, but in a way that is more understandable and easily appreciated by a wider audience. You know, like all those people that watch Eva and then get to like episodes 25 and 26 and get like completely pissed off because they feel like they have been robbed of something. That they're not going to do that, supposedly.
Yeah, I've heard people like that. Like this one guy, after he says he was so excited to be seeing Evangelion, right when he got to like the last two episodes, he just like sort of IM'd me in rage, saying, "What the hell is this?" He hated the movie too, so I think he's just a lost cause.
Alright, so moving on to the rest of the questions. For the rest of the questions, let's assume that this is the same show as the TV show Evangelion, and not Girlfriend of Steel or any other type of rendition of the Evangelion story. So, let's get right into it. What questions should be answered about the founding of NERV that we don't already know?
I think as for, like, you know, Gahern and NERV Japan, I think that section of the story is pretty much, you know, well fleshed out. I'm more interested in seeing, like, the other branches, like the Germany branch, the American branch. Not so much, like, there's, like, a branch in China, I think, you know, and not really interested in those branches, but particularly, like, the Germany and American branches, you know, like, you know, some of the stuff that happened with, like, Asuka and Kaji, and some of the stuff that, you know, took place with, like, Unit 4, you know, disappearing or exploding. Also more about how, you know, Sele and Gahern / NERV kind of, you know, how Sele more, you know, created NERV is, you know, NERV is like Sele's, you know, hand that is able to operate in the light, but you don't really get to know anything about Sele, which I always kind of was disappointed about.
I agree with Aaron. I'd like to see more of the branches fleshed out a bit more, or just fleshed out at all, pretty much, like, all we pretty much have of the American branch is, like, some photo of it exploding. And you don't really see the Germany branch at all, I don't think. So yeah, that'd be pretty interesting to see.
I would love to have Evangelion reach more of an international audience. And I think a great way of doing that would be making it more international, having each different branch, and seeing how much do the branches relate to each other, having, you know, NERV talk to another branch, having, you know, seeing the other Gendos of international NERV.
Wait, what makes you think Evangelion already doesn't have an international, like...
No. I'm talking about, like...
It's very Japanese-centric.
That is true.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of Americans who will watch and go, why is it like that? Why are they always going on trains? These small things which I think Americans might have trouble comprehending.
Well, part of why I like Evangelion is because it's part of its, like, Japanese-ness, I guess, because I'm a weeaboo.
The only time you ever get to see people of other, you know, nations is Sele, and then they're just, like, weird different colors, and you don't even know who they are.
Or Asuka.
She's half Japanese.
Her characteristic, like, hick music.
Yeah, I would also like to see, you know, how Sele formed. I want to see the formation of Sele. Someone going, you know, how are we going to fight these things? I also want to see, like, I want to see the angels in other parts of the world going towards Japan.
Well, didn't they come out of orbit towards Japan?
It was very contrived.
Yeah, that's true. But that's because Evangelion's kind of half like a Japanese monster movie, too. So...
That it is.
But, see, first of all, they're four movies, right? That's in the TV series, they probably could have cut out some stuff and put the stuff that we wanted, but in a movie, I think it would, even if we want this stuff, it would kind of take out time and distract from the main story, unless they find a way to include it into the main story like more.
Well, everybody loves a story which is the birth story, you know, the starting story, the start of Star Wars, the start of Spider-Man. You want to see how they get to that point.
So maybe they just talk about the other branches in the prequel? Is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like to see how that happens, and then we go to Shinji.
That would work, yeah.
Given that there's supposed to be four films, and most anime movies, you know, are within like 90 minutes, you got a good, you know, 6 hours of storytelling there, and that's considerable. I mean, if you take the Eva series, you know, get rid of, you know, the TV ending and some of those like action arc episodes that don't really have a whole lot of characterization or plot advancement, you know, you could easily, you know, do a pretty good story within 6 hours time frame. That's probably about what, like 16 like TV size episodes.
Yeah. So.
I mean,
that's a good number of episodes, or a good number of time to work with.
6 hours is enough time. We'll agree that Evangelion. Take out the filler episodes. I guess you have to hold back on some stories, but it's a hell of a lot of time.
Especially if it's going to be like supplemental, or if there's going to be more supplemental story.
Also, even though most anime films are like 90 minutes, the original Gundam movies were 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah,
so.
But that's an awful lot. Like, I mean, watching like Akira, which is like, you know, a little bit over 2 hours, it's just it goes so slow. I mean, once you get past like 90 minutes, it's like, is it over yet? And I don't want to see Ava have that problem.
Well, it depends on the pacing. No.
Well, that too, yeah.
Well, because I mean, I watched like Return of the King. 3 hours long, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different for animated films.
Yeah.
I think the engagement of an animated film needs to be a bit more, you know, condensed. So I think 90 minutes is a good time frame.
All right, so
2 hours at the most, you think?
At the very most.
Yeah.
All right, so now that Anno's a happier person than he was when he originally made the TV series, how will the films change? Will they be more girlfriend steel like, or will they be their good old depressing selves? Aaron,
it's kind of hard to say. I think that Anno is a very versatile director. I've said this before. He's done a lot of different types of movies, a lot of different types of animated films, or you know series. And I think that for him, even if he is, you know, a much more content and happy person with him, you know, at this point of his life, I do think he can do it. If he wanted to get back into that kind of visceral and emotional, you know, mode of thinking, I think he could. But as far as he's involved, he's more involved towards the beginning of it, and then he's going to be supervising the whole production altogether. And I think, as I understand it, more of it's going to be delegated to his assistant director, Kazuya Sudamaki, who you might know for his work on writing and directing FLCL and Aim for the Top 2 Dive Buster. And he's quite a talented and creative person himself, and I think that if anybody, you know, is going to be able to get back into this mode and create the same type of emotional story, these two guys are going to do it. So I have every faith in them in recreating the same type of story. And even if they decide to go in the more comedic, lighthearted route, I support that as well, and it'd be very interesting to see what they do with it.
Well, Foolie Cooley is great in that it's able to, for 1 second, make you completely laugh your ass off, and the next second you're like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
It's really successful in that sense. So,
Dive Buster as well.
I haven't seen Dive Buster yet.
You should. It's amazing.
Yeah, Dive Buster has the same sort of, it's very much like FLCL. I think that's going to be the next big hit from Gainax when it comes over here, you know, eventually. But Tsunamaki is quite a talented person.
Well, how would Evangelion function in a comedic type manner?
I don't know, I guess applying the same sort of spastic creativity that Tsurumaki has, you know, infused into both FLCL and Diebuster.
Well, I think if they're going to do that, I mean, at first I think Diebuster is kind of like a toned-down FLCL.
Very much
and,
so.
And if Evangelion's, if they're going to do that, I think they're going to have to just tone that down even more so that it's a bit more subtle, because I think they'd just be kind of, you know, I mean, for the original fans, I mean, I know me, I think it'd be just kind of weird to see if they went too much kind of crazy stuff. So I think they'd be kind of shooting themselves in the foot if they went kind of went too much down the that way.
Yeah, although that's possible. I would be very happy if they had one of those manga scenes in the Evangelion film, like they did Fully Cooly.
No, I think that's a bit of a stretch.
They didn't even have that in Diebuster, so...
They didn't, or did they?
They didn't. Diebuster was, like, extremely relaxed compared to FLCL.
But it still had that same sort of creative flair. We're kind of drifting from Ava at the moment.
Alright, well, let's move back then. And, so, which ending do you think they'll use? The TV series ending or the film ending?
Judging by the way Anno said that he wanted to be more comprehensible, I would say a more, whereas the TV series ending is more emotional, you know, character-driven, and the movie ending is more, you know, physical reality, you know, the plot, I would have to say that they'd go with End of Eva-type ending. Probably not nearly that trippy and that much of a mindfuck, but something to that extent, you know, with the actual resolution of a plot that is present in End of Eva. But I'd like to see a completely new ending, personally.
That'd be interesting so much as to compare them to the TV ending and the movie ending, but to see, you know, where else could these characters go?
Maybe they'll use the mysterious manga ending.
Oh, you mean they just won't make a fourth film?
Yes! Exactly!
The All right,
one would just be Yoshiki Sadamoto just trying to think of ideas.
If you did that, you would never get anywhere.
Summer 2007, blank screen. Alright, will the themes and characters change? How much? What do you think will change about the themes and characters?
This is assuming it's still
the original show. Yeah, should we keep, you know, the kind of Shinji cries a lot, masturbates on Asuka character, or should we keep, and are we going to, I think we're going to keep Rei the same. I can't see Rei changing too much, but I can see Shinji and Asuka's character being taken to a different level.
I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I don't really know what to say. I just hope that it doesn't become like, you know, like an abstraction that is driven by like the way in which fans envision these characters, like what the fans like think of the ideal version of Rei Ayanami that we don't need to go into.
Oh God,
we don't. But, I just hope it doesn't go that route.
Well, speaking of the fans themselves, will the fans be happy with the film?
If they change the characters around?
Well, no. Will they be happy with the films no matter what? Because we know, you know, the Star Wars prequels. You have the fans who are really happy, and then you've got the fans who hate it.
Really, for information, I don't think you can think that far ahead.
Well, like, I'm thinking more on the line is you have these fans with the ideal film in their head.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking a risk envisioning the series. All right, so
I just want one thing. I am hoping for a happy medium. I hope that these movies are good, but they are not so good, you know, within a certain, you know, type of good, you know, that they overshadow Eva in some new fans' minds, that people will look back on the old show and be like, that old show was crap.
Oh, that would be terrible.
That would break my heart. I mean, just a happy meaning of, you know, this is good on the same level that does not, you know, overshadow within anybody's mind.
Well, that segments into the next part about the actual design of the show, how the Evas look, how New Tokyo looks, looking at the design of the that Weta did for the live-action film, what will the design change? will we have a completely new, more realistic design?
Kind of, on one hand, I liked Ava's sort of, like, retro technology, like, you know, Shinji's, using a data tape, or the elevators having those little things that kind of click as the floors go up and down. There's something cool about, like, the kind of retro technology that's, like, functional to the point where it becomes dysfunctional. You know, like, if you, like, notice in the first episode, the UN commanders are on this, like, desk that retracts into the floor. It's completely impractical, but it has this retro charm to it that is very interesting.
The only thing that I would want to change about the entire design was I would like to see the Maggie re-envisioned. Because I think you're missing out on something there by having three big bobs.
Well, they're computers, so...
No, I think you should do more with the idea that there's a brain in there.
You talked about Weta's designs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think Gainax is really paying too much attention to them and what they're doing in all honesty, so I don't really think they'll take those into consideration at all.
I wouldn't really even say that those are... have any bearing on that production, because they just seem like they're nice sketches, but they're still sketches. Mm. And David, I have to disagree with you. I really like the way the Magi were designed. I think it was a really neat design.
Also, Aaron, going back to what you said about the sort of retro technology, I think that's part of what gave Ava its charm too. Like, it was like made in 1995, but it takes place in like 2015, but it still looks like it's in 1995.
Oh no!
Yeah,
it's
like the pre-existing technology design, you know, model where, you know, it's like what we have now, but like really cool. And then like when you get to that point, you look back and you're like, what the hell?
What I love is I love how it can also be rebuilt in a matter of a week,
or filled in with water. In some instances.
Well, eventually that happens, but, you know, an entire angel attacks Nerve and drills through all the walls, and, like, a week later, the walls are back.
An angel, like, an entire city just falls into, like, part of the city just falls into, like, that sea of Duroc, and then next episode it's back.
Oh, also, I wanted to mention, will the Ava stay in proportion this time?
As in, like, you know... Like, in one cut of animation, they're, like, hiding behind buildings, and in the next cut of animation, they're towering over them?
Or climbing up them, whichever you prefer.
I always just ignored that.
I
try not to get angry about those kind of things, or miffed about those kinds of things, because then you don't enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
No, you don't enjoy it, but it's very funny.
Well, I'm gonna go back to the Gundam example here, because Tamino in the original Gundam movies, he cut out stuff like the Gundam hammer and the Gundam like lance or something, just for the sake of realism. So maybe they might do that, just, you know, tighten things up to make them more realistic.
Well, I think if you get too realistic, then you lose the suspension of disbelief.
I think even the Ava's in proportion won't, because you're only having giant like fucking aliens coming from space. So, yeah, I think there's already a big suspension of disbelief there already, so...
I've never really cared about some of that myself. I've always sided with the characters, and so long as the characters were realistic, I could care less.
Yes.
Alright, now here's a question that I know Arion will not like. Is this a prelude to the live-action film? Because I'm saying, you know, what they... could easily do is basically take the animation, use the same script, and redo it in live action.
I like the idea that Gainax, you know, like, you know, ADV went to them and said, you know, hey, let's make a live action film, and they're like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, they noticed how much buzz was being generated about this, and they're like, hey, wait a minute. You know,
we want some money.
People still care about this. You know, let, you know, people will still want to see like more movies of this. And then, like, you know, it'd be neat if they just kind of even said, "Hey, we're not making an animated movie, you know, series anymore. We're going to make live action movies just to be like ADV and Weta to the punch." I think that'd be neat, but that's just me.
You want to go back to their old Daikon film days?
I think it'd be really neat if there was, like, you know, live-action Ava, you know, by, you know, Weta or ADV or whoever, and then the new animated movies by Gainax, and it's, like, they're, like, simultaneously, like, out there, like, right, you know, fresh and new, and, you know, the Gainax ones are just so much better than the other ones. Hey, I think they'd be really funny. Like, if they finally got to actually make, you know, this live-action film, and it would be just completely overshadowed by this other thing out there.
Hey,
it'd be like,
whoa.
It'd be salt in an open wound.
I mean, there is a large possibility that these live-action films could be good. Have you seen the new Battlestar Galactica?
Only a little bit.
Oh, it's amazing.
But there's... let's put it this way. You can have all the talent in the world, but if it's not a good story, it's not a good movie.
Oh, no, I know.
And there's no better example than Star Wars. At least the first three movies. You can have all the talent in the world, but it needs to be a good story.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about.
So that's why I keep saying that Weta being involved does not mean it's going to be good.
No, it means it'll have good effects, but that doesn't mean it'll have a good story. And ADV being involved...
And that's why I think that when Gainax is involved, it's going to be a good story.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and David, I'd just like to disagree with your theory that Gainax isn't thinking about live-action movies at all. I just don't think they care about it that much.
No, yeah, I doubt it's even going to link up at all.
No. I don't think Gainax cares, but I think ADV cares.
I don't really think ADV cares much about the live-action movie either. Because they're obviously not doing much.
I think it's just a big, like, buzz, like, marketing ploy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited. All right, last question. Will it be crap?
The live-action movie?
I know, the animated film.
Yeah, I know. The animated series by Gainax. I don't think it's possible that it could be, you know, crap. Where if Anno is involved, I just think there's no doubt about it that it'll at least be, you know, like, I guess at the very least it could be mediocre. I don't think it could be bad. You know, maybe not living up to, like, people's expectations of, oh, Anno's making more Evangelion. It's going to be brilliant. I mean, it might be a little lackluster or mediocre or not live up to the hype, but it will at least be, you know, good enough to be worth watching.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I mean, first of all, they're movies, so they have a movie budget, so we're already pretty... Since I'm kind of an animation fag, I think we can at least guarantee that the animation will be really good, so it'll at least be worth watching for that. And given... Mm-hmm. Gainax is behind it, and they're, like, the original writers. I'm sure they'll be able to, like, be able to tell the story well in the time that they allowed themselves. So I think, provided that they're still the same story of the original series, they'll be pretty good.
Plus, they've had 10 years to reflect.
Yeah. And they can go back and fix maybe a lot of those oversights in the stories. Mm. Like, I know they changed the story on the fly.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so they'll be able to, like, fix a lot of that stuff.
Alright, well, that's all the questions I've got. If anyone else has any more.
I'm pretty much good myself. Just
all right.
We just have to keep our ear to the ground and see what happens.
And wait.
I just want a release date, that's what I want, because I'm going to be going to Japan next summer. And if I can be there when they're released, then that'll be pretty cool.
No subtitles, though.
I'm gonna regret it that it's gonna be like hand cam rips recordings of the movies. And I'm gonna be looking at the torrent on like Mininova or something like that, and be like, I want to download it. I want to download it. No, I have to wait for a DVD rip.
I know you know that you're gonna. The first viewing of this film will be like some guy in there with the camera going, oh, Vinny.
Aaron, it'll be my camera.
I just hope that it is worth the wait.
Alright, well, without further ado, let's wrap this up. Aaron, thank you for coming on our wonderful podcast.
My pleasure.
on tomorrow, and I'll see you guys later.